Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The snap, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again! He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyreek Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball.
Have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to Game Day Eve. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan.
And your boy Jay Scar 25. What up, y'all boys?
What it do, baby?
What it do? 25.
It doesn't work. Dan. We're without Nick today. That's all right. His daughter's sick, so that's far more important than this. Big game tomorrow, Florida-Miami. Sunshine State clash. Miami Gardens.
This is unfortunate, man. I was looking forward to this game, bro, since the last game, right? Since we got our, you know, BTA last year. My man Ladd coming in, I was super excited. It's just not been that type of rivalry week, bro. I just been super chill.
Yeah.
I have no – I'm deflated. How you feeling, yeah. Jordan? What's up with it, man?
I feel like you, man, but just like last week, you know, I still got a little hope in us, man. Hopefully one of these weeks these guys just surprise me and give me the power to talk my ish, you know what I'm saying? So – I would love for it to be this weekend. Obviously, y'all know my situation that I was committed to Miami, and obviously I'm from South Florida, and to get a win on these guys is always going to be a blessing, man. So hopefully we can get it done, man. One of my old high school coaches, Kevin Beard, it's funny, I was texting with him earlier this week, and he was just like, yeah, man, we're going to beat the dog. I'm like, man, don't even go there. Don't even do that. I was like, just for you talking your smack, we going to beat y'all just because y'all feel so overly confident and y'all thinking it's going to be a walk in the park. I want y'all to, you know, what's the word? Underestimate us, if that makes sense.
Yeah, come in too cocky.
You feel me?
Jordan, you weren't there, right? Florida played the year after you grabbed you left against Miami.
Yeah, it was like the season opener or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that game distinctly. Yeah. In an ugly football game, if I remember correctly. But no, I mean, I think all of us were pretty hyped about this one. You know, at one point we talked about maybe doing a tailgate for this game and everything else. Obviously, the season hasn't gone as we expected. But I think when you look at everything, I mean, there's always a chance, right? There's always a chance. You have talent. You have the ability to, you know, string some things together. You limit some of the turnovers, you make some stops, you force some turnovers, and, you know, who knows what it could be, but definitely a different vibe now than I think that we all had at the beginning of the year for this game.
Yeah, 100%. And we do got your boy Beck over there, man, so hopefully we can bring out the Georgia Beck and make him sell us a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, let's get into the game a little bit more. Before we do that, we want to give a shout out to our friends over at the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group. Give them a call or visit them, pardon me, at dykusburke.com or dykusburkelaw.com, pardon me, D-I-C-U-S-B-U-R-K-E-law.com. they used to work for the insurance industry and now they work against the insurance industry. So if you're looking for anything related to property insurance claims, pipe leaks, water damage, wind damage, hail, hurricane, sinkhole damage, and maybe even a little personal injury, they do that, located in the St. Petersburg, Tampa Bay area of Florida, but they represent the entire state. Give them a call at 727-258-0043. Again, that's the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group, 727-258-0043. The best in the business for anything related to property and insurance claims. All right, guys, let's get into the game. Gators obviously sit at 1-2. Miami sits currently at 3-0, including a win over Notre Dame in that win. Ranked number 4 nationally, obviously, Carson Beck has proved to be one of the top quarterbacks in college football right now, completing nearly 80% of his passes. And defense looks decent. Certainly their front four looks great. Maybe their linebackers can be a mismatch opportunity for the Gators, and defensive backs have been okay. They have had some vulnerabilities on defense that the Gators hope that they can erase the turnover portion of their game and, hopefully try to capitalize there. But Florida's offense obviously has struggled this year, only scoring two touchdowns against FBS opponents and then a couple field goals. Defense has only allowed two touchdowns all season. So it should be a battle of some pretty good defenses in a matter of Florida hopefully getting it together. What do you guys anticipate for this game?
I think Miami's going to be so far the best team we faced this season. I think the strongest offensive line, strongest quarterback play. I think probably the best OC that we're going to face. So it's going to be a tough matchup. We're going into that building. They're feeling hot. It's hostile. But our defense is really good. I'm a little down that Caleb Banks is out. Like I said, all offseason when we gave out MVPs, I think he just makes it go. The defense is good without him, but I think it's top tier, one of the best in the country with him. He's out, got a foot injury. So if the guys behind him step up, that defense stifle them and slow them down, we're going to need turnovers to win this one. But they're coming in as the better coached team, better prepared team. I like Shannon Dawson and his offense. We got to find a way to get him a head coaching job somewhere and get him out of date. But it's 8.5 points right now, I think, right? So as bad as we've played, the people in Vegas still has this as a one possession game, little over a one possession game. So I just think we got to come in and like Jordan said in the intro, hopefully this is a game and where DJ finds his groove, get hot, come out of his slump. This is the perfect game for it. But we don't want to play this type of football. I hate this type of football, but you got to shorten the game.
Yeah.
You got to run Jaden Ball, play good defense, make it a one-possession game in the fourth and somehow try to win, this game in some type of way. But it's hard for me to come up with a strategic route. For what I've seen from us offensively, I don't know, what we put together offensively to go get points to beat this team.
Yeah, on offense, Jordan, I'll let you run here in a second. Carson Beck is mainly completing most of his passes in the 5 to 10 yard mark. That's where he's 24 of 25 between 0 and 10 yards, right in the middle of the field. So that's definitely going to be a call to the linebackers and your nickel there to cover that. But obviously he's been very consistent. He's only thrown 2 interceptions this year, has thrown, 16 passes over 20 yards, has completed 8 of them and for over 200 yards there. So, there's certainly a deep threat there. He's not been turning the ball over a ton. I don't know if he has not played a defense that's, potentially as stout as the Gators. So, but that offensive line is going to give our defensive line, which has struggled to create sacks, right? They've been able to get some pressures and been able to force some things, but I hope that they're able to find ways to be unique, maybe whether there's some stunts or whether there's some unique blitz packages there to force Carson Beck to make throws and not just sit in the pocket. Cause that's my biggest concern is, I still think that there's some weakness at the safety position. And so having these DBs run for 4, 5, 6 seconds, it might be challenging if the Gators aren't able to get after Carson Beck. But Jordan, what are your thoughts?
And I think this game is very feasible for us. I honestly feel like if we can come out and play penalty-free football, I really believe we have a strong chance to win this game. I do agree with Corey that this is the best team we're probably facing. But just even looking at last week and like a very good LSU team, we're plus five on the turnover margin. I mean, -5 on the turnover margin, and we're still down by 8 points the entire game. So I honestly think if we can go into this game with penalty-free football, that's impossible, obviously, but like low amount of penalties and no turnovers to maybe one turnover, and we can win the turnover margin, I can see us winning this ball game because we have the ability to run the football against them, I'm pretty sure. They have a great defensive line, but I think that we'll be able to get some yards after contact, fall forward for a positive like 3-4 yards to be able to pick up some first downs. But yeah, I think we'll be pretty good on that end. I feel like with Caleb Banks being out, I think it does miss us a big piece on the defense, but I think the defense will still rally together and get the job done. I am kind of banking on Carson Beck to kind of play a little slower today. You know, I heard that you mentioned he does kind of get the ball out fast and his guys on short routes is not really going deep. But hopefully this game he's trying to impress his fans, throw some big stuff and hold on to the ball a little longer so we can get to the quarterback.
And the problem with that, he get it out quick and throw short passes, but our cushions be crazy sometimes. So I hope we tighten that up as well. Like, I hope we play a little bit more, you know, press and get up in Miami's face a little bit more this game.
Yeah, and that's what I'm kind of thinking. You know, I'm like, okay, we got 3 games worth of film on these guys. We see they're just trying to make their athletes work in space. They're just getting them the ball fast and making them get yards at the catch. It's not really like it's long developing routes way down the field. So, I mean, as a coach, you would hope that they're actually watching the film and taking this into consideration to kind of take away all the short routes and kind of force them to hold on to the ball a little hitch longer.
I'm just doing some quick math here. 39 of his 86 passes have been 10 yards or less. He's 24 of 25 in from the line of scrimmage to 10 yards down the middle of the field. And he's 12 of 14 between the numbers behind the line of scrimmage. So 39 of his 86 passes have been in the middle before the first down mark. So that's going to rely heavily on, you know, what are you doing to minimize the holes that that their offensive line is trying to create for those opportunities in the middle of the field? And how are you able to collapse into the middle of the field so none of those break out, right? So, you know, I think that, you know, our defensive line against their offensive line is going to be a struggle, and certainly something that I, you know, am fearful of the opportunity of Carson Beck having a little bit more time if we're not able to get after the quarterback. But what are we doing if we can't get out of the quarter or can't get at the quarterback to minimize how far those gains can go as he's throwing the ball? He's going to be consistent. He's obviously been turnover prone in, you know, previous times that he's been at Georgia, but right now he looks like he's playing, you know, the best that he's been playing, and certainly has the best protection that he's had in, you know, at least the last 2 seasons as he's been playing. So, you know, again, you have to get after him. He is, I guess, a little bit better when he's not blitzed compared to when he is blitzed. His percentage goes down 20% when he is blitzed. So potentially that's, you know, something that the Gators can do, but they also haven't been a heavily blitzing defense either. Been able to really get after the quarterback to minimize those, you know, to force him out of the pocket and force him to make runs or throws on the run. But the slants are going to be open, and that Malachi Toney guy is very good.
Yeah, he's talented, man. I mean, that's what I mean. They got playmakers like that they just want to get them on a little quick little screen, any type of slant route, something real short, just to kind of give him the ball and let him do what he does best. Really trying to let him run 9 routes and 7 routes down the field to really stretch the defense, unless they have to, obviously.
Right.
Yeah, Dawson is going to take what you give him. So I don't think the passes down the field is because they don't want to go down the field. I think defenses are playing them deep, and he's taking a lot of these defenses are giving him. Right. So I think that stat could be a little misscrewed, you know what I'm saying? Because sure. they will go vertical. We haven't been attacking like we were last year. We haven't been getting after the passer like we were last year. And I just want to see some better blitz designs, the hiding of coverages, and, you know, mixing it up to confuse him. You just got to get in your bag for a game like this. So we'll see if Ron Roberts gets in deep into his trick bag. But last year, the games that we shined on and we got turnovers, it was because of a lot of mixed looks and us doing a lot of exotic blitz packages. And our front four isn't getting to the quarterback like I would want to. So, this is a very good offensive line. This is Mario's calling card. I think our best bet is, or our you know, if we got to get lucky to win this, it's just Mario being Mario and just, you know, overthinking. Yeah. And him making in-game, because both of these coaches aren't great in-game coaches. So him making bad in-game decisions and all that stuff could keep us in the game. Like I said, we just got to capitalize late. Stay in the game late in that building. Keep the crowd noise down. And then late, you know, hopefully we could pull something out. But, no, this game isn't far-fetched. I think every team on our schedule, we got the talent to beat. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to feel this way every game we pull up. We're going to be like, well, I don't know. I think we could beat them because we know, like, the talent that's on this roster. And you're just waiting on it to click like it did last year towards the end. So, every game we face, I feel we got a fighter's, you know, chance to win the game. It just comes down to playing disciplined football, no penalties, and executing.
Yeah.
And also adjusting.
Right.
We haven't been adjusting. We come in with a game plan. They figure it out the first few drives, and we just keep doubling down on the same game plan.
Yeah, 100%. You know what's crazy, Corey, is as a Miami Dolphins fan, I'm not sure you watched that game yesterday, but, you know, Billy Napier is kind of from the same tree of offense that Mike McDaniel's from. My brother in Christ, it is tough to watch. Tough, yeah, for them cats, right? I mean, I know you want to wear and tear them down, and, you know, I'm sure Billy Napier got his rocks off watching the Miami Dolphins return a kick to the 50-yard line and spend the next 7.5 minutes going the next 50-yard line. But, dude, it's tough, man. It's tough to watch. I need something new in my life.
Yeah, man. I hope that special teams will be able to kind of help us in this game, man. It's been slowly creeping in. Special teams has been making a factor, whether it's in the kicking game and the punt flipping the field, or be actually flipping the field with his return yardage on punt return. So let's hope this is one of those games where special teams plays a huge role for us, whether it's a block punt, punt return, something of that nature, really just get us some momentum in the stadium, because we're going to need one. And I feel like he's long overdue for a return or just a big play on special teams. I feel like it really hasn't happened yet. So this will be the game for it.
He had the one against USF that was great, that set us up for that touchdown. But, you know, we don't have our punting expert to tell us, is this guy – you know, does he punt it high in the air, long hang time? So the episode's not going to be as good without the punting analysis. But, you know, I think that that's where Florida wins. You try to minimize your mistakes, right? The penalties, especially on these impact plays, man. Penalties have to go. You got to run your hot hand. You know, obviously we haven't had the chance to talk about it. Jamar Jaluk suspended for 3 games, which I thought was interesting that he got suspended for more games than Sharon Moore from Michigan got when they cheated to win the national championship. But beyond that, you know, the running back coach is the one that decides who's going to play. So I wonder if we see any change there or not, or if it's the same kit and caboodle we're used to.
Maybe boss season, baby. Let's do it.
Yeah, it's maybe a blessing in disguise getting Brother Jaluk suspended. we got to get ball more than 10 carries a game, bro. You got to just feed that machine and just hopefully you can wear teams down. But your quarterback's super turnover prone. To the Jabbar Jaluk thing, like, that is like, bro, when things go bad, they just go bad, bro. Like, this is every time it's like the end of a coach tenure, you just start getting, it's this Gator thing. We just start getting debacle after debacle, like back to back. We got 2 weeks in a row of apology letters, man. So we're shrieking in something. But pregame, you just can't be into the scuffles with players. No. And I understand he doesn't like LSU. I know, like, some football fans with the, you know, the rah rah stuff. Oh, at least somebody's showing, bro, a coach cannot be in pregame scuffles.
That's just a bad look. I mean, I'm all about the energy and, you know, getting hyped for the rivalry, but it's at some point you got to kind of draw the line in the sand and realize where it's your place to be and not. If they going at it, so what? It should have been you reversing. Even if you was talking your smack, as soon as it started to go down, you should have been that should have been you.
In the bushes like Homer, man.
Yeah, yeah. As the adult. Shouldn't be in front of the players without your back turned pushing your guys out, right?
Thank you. As an adult, that kind of needs to kick in at some point. I get you talking your smack. You know he's from Louisiana and all that, so I'm sure it was a little bit more personal for him. But to be like that with another player made it look worse. Maybe if it was another coach, I would be like, okay, coach. You know, a little something to be hype about.
Kelly Swerna.
Right. They always joke around. Like, I've been around some coaches where they'd be like, you know, I can take out their special teams guy, or I can take out their linebackers coach, whatever. Yeah. Like, it's jokes for real. But
I would have loved to see a Billy Napier, Corey Raymond square up in the middle of the field. You know what I mean?
Right.
It would be funny, too.
Let's see here. Just so you guys know some names, some of these names will be very familiar to Gator fans that follow recruiting. Miami's leading receiver, CJ Daniels, the former Liberty transfer that looked at Florida, went to LSU, now LSU down to Miami. Malachi Toney, no relation, despite what the internet tells you, to Kadarius Toney. And then Nye Carr, previously committed to the Gators, I believe, was for a little while. And then... Joshua Moore. He's had a couple of good catches over there. Mark Fletcher, again, a name that you should be familiar with as a Gator recruiting fan, is their leading rusher, followed by Chermar Brown, or is it Shamar?
Shamar.
That's what I should have said to begin with.
We didn't recruit Jordan Lyles either?
Yeah, we did.
We did. We did a little bit. Only 11 yards on the season, though, Jordan.
Right, I was expecting to have a little bit bigger season, but I mean, I guess Mark Fletcher doing his
thing. Yeah, he's doing his thing, and I also don't think that they've really had to rely on stable, right? Their offensive line is anchored by Samson Okunlola and Francis Maiagoa. Only allowed 2 sacks this season, have only allowed 5 quarterback hits and 11 pressures, 11 hurries and 18 pressures on the year. And their offensive line has committed 13 penalties. So a potential there, where they get hurt a little bit, but obviously going to be probably the best offensive line that the Gators, play, this season. On defense, just so you're aware of some names, obviously anchored by Reuben Bain, who's just an incredible player. Akeem Mesidor is on the opposite side of him. And then from a coverage perspective, Jacoby Thomas, Keontae Scott, Xavier Lucas, the transfer from Wisconsin, Zachariah Poser, are some names to look out for as well. So their defense this year has 7 sacks, 9 QB hits, 42 quarterback hurries, which is just an incredible amount when you consider where Florida's at. Not missing a lot of tackles either. So definitely a fundamentally sound defense over there. Vic here says Jordan Lyle has been hurt, but he'll be back this game. So we appreciate that, Vic. Scott says if we lose Saturday, is Billy gone Sunday? I don't think so.
Yeah, not yet. I think not it yet. We wouldn't know when it's coming, but it's coming, sad to say, if he keep doing what he's doing right now. But, man, I just win-win, man. Going
to bye week.
Yeah, for sure. Something like that. It'd be something random like that. But, my big piece is what I'm looking for in this game is we should have a plan for Lagway offensively, something that's going to make him comfortable to where he's not, you know, predetermining certain passes or having to think too much with the concepts and stuff like that. Make it real easy and nice for him, because obviously that's what we need at this rate. He hasn't had much reps going, leaving from training camp and stuff. So I want to see a good plan in for him, as well as if we do need to make adjustments, like I want to see us start fast in the second half. Like, I feel like us coming out in the second half, I should see a new team. I should see a new sense of urgency and some new good play calls coming out of the second half. Offensively is more of what I'm getting at. I feel like I've been watching these past two games, and I feel like our halftime adjustments have not been great. It almost seems like we aren't doing anything. It almost seems right. like we're just going over what went wrong and then just hoping and wishing that it'll get better with the same, you know, we're doing the same thing. I need a different type of game plan coming out of the second half. It doesn't have to be totally different on some like crazy stuff, but you should have a couple things in your bag to what, like, if they're doing something or showing you a look you wasn't expected, you kind of know what you want to do. You kind of know some plays you want to get to that mirror what you kind of did in the first half. So that's what I'm kind of looking forward to. Hopefully we can start fast in the second half. We can put together a nice drive coming out the second half. That'll be great for us.
Jordan, you've been an NFL coach before. What would you do if, you know, you're trying to get the offense going, you're trying to get Lagway comfortable? What kind of throws are you trying to do? What kind of plays, you know, in your mind do you think you do to get him more comfortable?
I think honestly, in just my experience, obviously it's not much, but a little bit, but I would say that I would kind of lean more on him and like, what is he comfortable with? Because you can have your stuff that you like and you feel like works easy, but that may not work easy for him. It may not be comfortable to him. So I feel like kind of getting to the stuff that he likes, whether it's the RPO game to kind of keep the defense kind of on the toes onto what's going on. You can have some options, play the numbers game with that. But yeah, I honestly would just get real personal with him on like what he likes, what some concepts that he likes. Maybe we could mirror some stuff and make it look like that, or kind of have like a double move off of some stuff he likes. Just have a little extra in the bag to kind of be ready for the game. But I honestly would just all prepare it off of what he likes or what he feels comfortable with. So when I do call the play call, you can't tell me that, you know, this is not familiar with you. This is what you like to do. You like to throw digs. You like to throw, you know, some type of in-cut route or something like that. So I honestly would just see what it is that he would like to do concept-wise, if he has any, and then I'll move accordingly off of that.
Okay.
In a game like this in the past, like if we had Dan Mullen, like, and this is, we know how bad Dan Mullen was, just from a coaching X and O schemer standpoint, a guy like Reuben Bain, I wouldn't even be like terrified of, because I know Dan would scheme him out of the game for the most part.
Easily. Like,
he's going to move the pocket in certain ways to take shots, right? He's going to do certain things in RPO, whatever it may be, to just neutralize like some of your best players and to put his quarterback in the best position to make plays. But yeah, we got to find a way. The Miami staff, the first staff to start verbally telling us that, or telling people in the media that they knew it, what Billy Napier wanted to run. They knew the offense, it was predictable, and they kind of made that known in their presser last year. And there's been a few other teams that said it since then. So you got to have some pride as a play caller. You got to have some wrinkles to come out, because this team is saying that we're predictable. So we got to find our tendencies, you know, what we like to do a lot in certain circumstances, and switch it and flip it. Like, what do we want to do on third and short? What do we want to do on, you know, second and medium, second and long? We got to switch our tendencies, because teams know that we want to do certain things and certain we're very predictable.
Right.
We got to, and safeties know that we want to be 20 yards and in. You know, if I'm a safety and I ain't got to get in my back pedal, bro, you are blessing me with, you know, NFL film, because I know I don't have to get on my horse and chase anything. So I'm on my toes and I'm biting and jumping routes. Yeah. We gotta stretch their defense. We can't let them, you know, 20 yards in, just bite down on everything we want. Safety can almost come up in the box. Now you're playing like the numbers in the box is just unfair for your run game, because they don't even respect your passing game to go vertical. So we got to get out of our past tendencies of the last, not just this season, the last couple of games, but the last few, not just this season, but the last few seasons. We got to get away from the tendencies. Do I think we can adjust mid-season offensively? I don't have a lot of faith in it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is what it is at this point, right? I mean, if you look on Twitter, which, you know, for your mental health, probably not the best place to go right now. But there's people that are looking at the same plays from Louisiana, right? And kind of the same offense. And we've looked back at Clemson and why Billy Napier got fired, and it was about predictability. And then you look at Louisiana, and then you look at Florida during his time here, and you have to figure out how to do something different, right? You have so many people that are trying to help you create an offense that can do something and take advantage of a very good defense, one of the best defenses in college football statistically right now. What can you do to take advantage of their ability to force the opponent to punt the ball or to not get the yards that they want, miss field goal, even if they end up with a field goal? What can you do to capitalize on that? And that's what I'm hoping that we see. I don't have a ton of faith. Like Corey said, we've not seen it in, you know, 3 years and three games, but our offense is not moving. So you have to do something a little bit different, right? So is it using ball more? Is it that wheel route that did well against LSU? Obviously the big play against LSU gets called back on that Jaden Ball wheel route, but do you do something to force Miami to think differently about how your offense is going to operate? Because I do think that Florida has guys on their team that can beat Miami. It's just a matter of, do we have it on the sidelines to be able to win this game and take advantage of where Florida is mismatched? And, you know, right now we thought this was going to be an outstanding offensive line versus defensive line matchup. And right now I think Miami has the edge in both of those, but you know, if Florida can play up to its potential, then maybe that's, you know, less of a gap than it seems.
Yeah, definitely, man. To go back, kind of, I remember you mentioned Dan Mullen and like he would scheme up perfectly in his game. And I kind of do agree with that. Just being in his system, he definitely used to always go up with play calls, line of scrimmage, especially with a team like this. Whether they were like a heavy cover three team on first and third down or something like that, he'll go to the line of scrimmage with a cover three beater in the pass game and maybe like a gap scheme run for the run game, depending on the front that they like to run on first and 10 or third down. If it's an odd front, we're going to run this gap scheme. If it's a four down front, we'll run Y zone. And and that was automatically assumed. So whether we're rolling with the play or changing the play, we know what it is based upon the front. We know what we're running based upon the front. And in the past game, we know what we called originally. So I feel like just doing little stuff like that can like just give us an advantage. So I remember even, I don't know if you guys remember this, remember we used to kind of like fake a handoff and then go into a read speed option with Felipe? We thought of that once we was playing against Kentucky for real, because they had a great pass rusher and he would get up the field. So we saw a team run speed out of option it. Against them, and it was successful. So he was like, let's kind of fake zone to slow them down, and then we're still going to get into our speed option. And I at first, I'm like, bro, they're going to – speed, they're gonna attack the mesh point. We're gonna get blasted back there. Like, what are we doing? Shoot, we were in the game. That stuff started working. Everybody's feet was froze. Watch this, because they're thinking it's about to just be an inside zone play, and then they freeze their feet, and then we can capture the edge on them. I'm like, wow, that was genius, honestly.
Hey, yeah, he's gonna take your best defensive guy in that front and scheme him out of the game. That's one thing he's good at when he's, you know, locked in and care. What's up, Dan?
Right.
Jordan, one thing that I've noticed Lagway do is kind of when he's going to hand the ball off, it's not every play, but he tends to have a tendency to drop back and like spin and then hand the ball off. Can you describe that compared to just handing the ball off? Is it to try to create?
You saying like out? You saying like out the pistol or when?
Yeah, out the pistol backs kind of spins around to hand the ball off.
I think sometimes that's just kind of how they drew it up. Some people like to do the rat ball handling, which is like, let's just say I'm running to the right side of the formation. I'll give him the ball to my left so he can rat back to the right.
Gotcha. Okay.
It gives the defense the inclination that we're running left because the handoff's on the left, but really the blocking scheme is going to the
right. Kind of like a counter.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's kind of like a counter of some sort. But in pistol, most of the time, teams do rat ball handlings on mid zone, inside zone, and trap plays, kind of like a fast hitting kind of trap play. They do like wrap ball handling where the running back will go, if it's 14 zone or whatever, as their own zone run to the right, it'll be a left handoff and to be wrapping back to the right to get behind your blockers.
Awesome. I appreciate that. I'm trying to learn something new every day. All right, guys. So that's kind of where we're at with Miami and in Florida. Miami is currently, I guess, depending on where you look, somewhere between a 7.5 and 9.5 point favorite in this game. Over under is anywhere between 50.5 to 52.5, depending on where you're looking. And then Fox Sports does their data analysis. They have Miami winning 28-16, approximately. So let's get into the pick 'em portion of this show. And we'll go Corey Jordan and then me. Corey, start with you. DJ Lagway gets 225 yards in the air.
Yeah, I don't think yards is the problem.
Right. Oh, we'll get there.
I'm going over on the yards too, man. I figure whether it's a game where we're playing from behind, trying to win it at the end, or he gets up early just off a few big explosive plays. We haven't yet to seen any real big explosive plays in his big arm that we seen last year. So hopefully that comes alive, or he can just play a nice clean game and still get to that yardage, because that's very doable for him.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I'm over as well. We're going to go Jaden Ball, 15 plus carries or more.
I pray.
I'm good. Give me the under, man. I don't think so. You know, these guys, I'm going to tell you one thing about this staff. When the fans think they're right about something, this staff is dedicated to try to prove them wrong.
Oh, yeah. You are. Yeah. They're a very headstrong group of folks.
For sure.
Oh, man.
They're like the conductor of the orchestra when the Titanic sink. It's like, keep going. Just keep going.
Let it rip.
Louder. Louder.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure who will be the one, you know, getting these guys in and out as far as running back wise. But I'm leaning on the oversight because I just hope and pray that's what we finally do. I mean, you got a guy that can be a feature back just about any team in the country. And we just need to be that team to actually use that guy and not use him like he's an average Joe. So I guess that's just my hope and wish that he goes over. So I got to lay with the over on that one.
Feed the machine, man. Feed it.
It's
different.
Yeah, I'm gonna go over on this one. I think that, you know, potentially we have the chance to learn from our mistakes here. I think that there's just such a gulf between the two right now that he's going to get more carries than we anticipate. All right. over under 51.5 points in the game.
Me under. You say 50.5?
51.5.
Yeah, give me over. We're going to have to go get some points to win this, you know. I know our defense is – no. This is another one of my takes before we move on. I know our defense has been stout, but I think this is going to be the toughest test, you know, from a mental standpoint, you know, being able to stay locked in if the offense is struggling, you know, do you fold? I think we match up very good, bro. Like, I know we in our pick 'em stage, but I think we match up very good. Like, we got linebackers that's going to get to the running back, you know. Our defensive front, like the pass rushing isn't as elite as we thought it would be, but, you know, we're very stout versus the run. Our secondary guys that can go, we match up very well with the receivers. Nothing on in their receiving room scares me deep. I like Malachi Tony, mm-hmm. but he don't put the fear of God in me like that. You know, he's good. He's going to make plays. But, bruh, we match up very well versus this team. It's just the offense being able to put drives together to keep our defense off the field from being tired and, you know, and just getting frustrated. But we match up well. But we're going to have to go get some points, too.
Yeah. Jordan, over under 51.5.
I think I'm going against the grain here, man. I'm going to go under. I feel like our defense has been playing pretty lights out, and I'm banking on the fact that we will continue to do so. LSU has a pretty good offense as well as offensive scheme. So I feel like for us to hold them to, what was it, 22 points, 21 points?
With five turnovers.
20 points.
But five turnovers, how much short field we gave them, and the defense was not playing. Obviously, we don't have Caleb Banks. He played a huge role in that defense last week. But I think without him, it's not that much of a drop-off defensively. It is a slight drop-off, but not that significant. So I'm laying with the under here. I think that we'll manage to keep them under 28 points maybe, or at 28 points-ish. And, yeah.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Jordan. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. I think that the Gators have a pretty good defense, but also have a strong defense, and hopefully it matches up well against Miami. But I think Florida just likes to run the clock out, right? They, you know, they like these 5, 6, 7, 8 minute drives, you know, that I think, you know, definitely speeds up the game. So I'm going to go under, not by a ton, but, you know, but by close. It's that time. We have to bring it up. Oh, by the way, you know who I think is coaching running backs? Oh, William Pegler.
Back. Oh, my God, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Up the bets.
Oh, my God. Bets. We got Peaks at the running back coach. Yeah. I'm Peaks, man. If you're listening, feed the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do it.
It's simple, man.
Yeah. Yeah, 13 is good.
Help you want to be a fan? You want to win some more, some fan, you know, favorite energy? Just leave them in the game. Don't take them out.
If you want to make the list, you know, if you ever want to be featured on the list, this is your opportunity to prove that
there
you belong.
There's nothing Pete can do to get on any list of any sort.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. Do Florida Gator quarterbacks throw 1.5 interceptions or more? Over or under?
Under. Wow. Give me the under. Okay. Got faith in my guy too, man. He's gonna snap back here in a minute, bro. Just gotta go vertical. Throw the ball away too, bro. People ain't open in this terrible scheme.
Oh, them legs still work. I'm.
Yeah, I don't think they run it. I think they also need to utilize him more in the run game. You know.
Yeah, like you acting like he got one hamstring or something.
Yeah,
like he must not be all right because he's not choosing to run.
When he runs, he looks great. It don't look like he's not all right. You know, he dropped the helmet too, and you know, he brings the boom a little bit, gets up. There's a couple times against versus LSU. I was like, all right, bro, don't go out here.
He was taking some, I think, because he knew he was playing bad, so he was almost like, I'm putting my body on the line. Right here.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, man, I think I'm gonna have to go under just because I think it's heavy. After throwing 5 interceptions, it better be heavy emphasis protect the football.
For right? sure.
I do not want to see you come for in here sure. and have more than one turnover, if that, as an offense, like entirely, like one fumble maybe. I really want you to have 0 interceptions. So
yeah, don't you just you gotta stop trying to rely on his arm strength too much, you know, and I got takes there too, but it's okay to throw the ball away and live to see the next down, punt, et cetera. You know, like, it's okay.
A punt is a hell of a lot better than an interception. Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah.
Man, this is a tough one. I'm going to go under just because I'm hopeful. I'm just trying to find the light in this tunnel. Right.
I mean, after dark. 5 interceptions, you just almost got to pray.
I just don't think he's 5 interceptions worthy as a quarterback. I just have to see better decision making. And that's my one thing. We talked about it this offseason, right? Like that Tulane game. You just got to try to stop throwing it into triple coverage and thinking that you're athletic or strong enough to get it through triple coverage. Cause like you may be able to one time, but more often than not, you're not going to be able to. Right. So just throw it away. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question, man? Like in this tenure, like what offensive game, just one that has like impressed you?
We talked about that, right? I mean, I think maybe the Kentucky game is like the last game that kind of looked some sort of semblance of something, but even still, like I don't know.
Yeah. I wouldn't even say Kentucky. I think that was just more of Jaden Ball coming out his shell. Like he was making plays happen in the run game as far as like these are just normal runs that were being called, and he was just turned into a beast out there. It wasn't like Ladway was tearing him up and down the field. He did good too, but I feel like it was a definitely heavy emphasis of Ball's just athletic ability being displayed more than a clinic of offensive system being shown to us.
Right.
Great. I think you made a good point. I don't think they've ever really had a game that's featured both.
Right.
All this talent, like that was my biggest thing is like does he know how to utilize all of it? Like all of these receivers, the running back room, DJ Lagway, and I'm not even gonna mention the tight end room because they shouldn't be featured as much as they are, but it's a lot of talent in that offense.
They get more love than the receivers.
Yes. Even when we go 4-5-4 wide, right? He'd be like, okay, we're not in 12 personnel, but you still got 2 tight ends on the field, bro. We're like, why you got 2 guys that are not gonna just route up a DB and SEC.
Only reason why I think they do it, which I see why, but it's just not working in our favor. I think they love to come out in 12 personnel because you normally get based to 12 which is meaning you have more linebackers on the field, less DBs.
Everybody knows, Jordan. Everybody knows what they're trying to do. Like, that's why it doesn't work.
Not working, right? Yeah. So, like, we need to try something else. Like, we're not passing good against base. It's not that – it doesn't make that much of a difference that there's not one more DB on the field. That's not – like, we're not taking advantage of that. We don't have that type of tight end to, like, put two of those guys on the field to where they're making such a significant role in the pass game. I think we just need to just – roll out an 11, bro. 10, 11.
Yeah.
Live in that world and shoot. If they got an extra DB, so what? Our receivers are better than their DBs. That's what we just got to buckle up and say. I think we're still a little bit shy, a little bit scared that these guys are young. Well, we have transfer guys who aren't young. I don't know why Aiden Mazzell is not playing more. I'm not saying like like we got receivers ready to go. Like, I really don't get it. But
bro, last year, Mazzell put stuff in a blender when given opportunity. We've seen what he did on Georgia, the Mississippi State game, bro. When he's gotten opportunities, he's cooked. He just don't get the opportunities, and it's just like mind-boggling, bro. Like, players making plays, Mazzell should get
imagine being in his place. You make plays every time you get on the field, and you still not a starter. You still maybe getting 16 snaps a game. Like, you going into every week knowing that you that guy. And you really not even getting any type of love.
Nine snaps, bro. He better than me. I'm going to be honest with you, bro. Nine snaps, bro. I would have been in it. You would have heard the Porter crank up when I got in it. It's like a UFO landing when I got up in that joint, bro.
It's
I got to go.
Only because it's Florida, bro. Florida holds so much weight. You really got to, like, really hate your situation to leave that school. I've seen guys literally go their whole career staying there. And obviously, this is when transfer portal wasn't even that popular. But yeah, I think the logo is just holding on to a lot of these guys, man.
Oh, these checks, too.
the checks, too. Yes. Come on, so I feel like we got to take advantage, man. Jeez, let's use these guys. We got a loaded room, man. We're wasting talent. They just collected dust on the sideline, and it's irky.
Yeah. Everybody be like, oh, they're going to jump in the portal. Like, bro, these guys are getting $400K a year, bro. You gonna just walk away from that check next week? You know, like
we've seen people do it before and then not get the money that they thought they were gonna get, right?
What? Yeah, but it's mid season, so if you leave now, like wherever you're going, you're not gonna get paid until you know you get on that campus, you get your new deal. But you're talking about the rest of October, November, and then you know it's the holidays, baby. Everybody's jolly. All those weeks with no check, you got a job. Are you just gonna quit your job, you know, because you mad and you just, you know, you took an L on the sale? No, you're gonna be like, all right, let me rationalize this a little bit. I still got bills to pay, baby.
Yeah, not a lot of people leaving jobs without another job lined up, that's for sure.
Facts, man.
All right, let's I've got under two. Let's do Mark Fletcher, their starting running back, 80 and a half yards or more.
We've been doing a pretty good job stopping the run. I don't know.
Yeah, I think as a team they get over 100, but I don't know him by himself.
Okay.
Give me under for Fletch.
Okay. I'm going to go under two. The Gators cause one or more interceptions.
Yeah, give me the over on that. I think we get one. Give me money for one this week.
All right,
shout out to 25, bro. I ain't get to say this last show. 25 hustle plays coming up in the run game, smacking stuff, bro. I like his development. You know, everything ain't peaches and cream this season, but I like the way 25 is playing football, bro. Straight up.
I think I'm gonna go over for this one, man. I feel like he gave up what, two against USF, so it's not impossible. I feel like our defense is better than USF's defense. Even though we played a terrible game against them. But, yeah, I think Beck threw two interceptions versus USF, so I definitely can see him giving us one.
I mean, the last time he played Florida, he threw three. So,
right. Come on. Yeah, he's shaking in his boots just a little bit.
I mean, Florida still has guys, right? Like, I think we're all going to probably pick the same team to win, but I still think that there's guys that can definitely cause some havoc in this game. Do the Gators get 1.5 sacks or more in this game against Miami's vaunted defensive line?
I think we get two. It's going to have to come from the linebacker corps. Give me Miles Graham and somebody else on some blitz stuff. I need 34 to come out of his. He's been playing good ball too, especially in the run fit. But I need him to come alive a little bit more in pass rush. So I think 34 comes alive, give me one. I got Miles Graham giving me one. So give me the over.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm laying with the over on this one as well. I think we'll be able to dial up some pressures and kind of get to the quarterback. I don't know necessarily who will get to the quarterback, but I got a feeling that we may get to him.
Okay. And then I'm going to go under. I don't know.
Yeah, the pass rush hasn't been there, but.
Yeah, it just hasn't been there, man. All right, so Gators, we'll say 8.5, somewhere between 7.5 and 9.5. So two-part question. Who wins the game, and then do the Gators cover? Corey.
Gators win. Of course we cover. We win. I'm never, bro, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? Like, we find a way to win. You feel me? And if we lose, we still win.
Jordan.
We win.
Yeah, but I definitely think we cover this spread up. This is a good trap. Everybody's kind of turning their backs on us and basically feeling like we're done for the season. It's fire Billy. It's, you know, rah, rah, rah. The 8 points has me kind of feeling that it's coverable because, I mean, considering last week, you got a quarterback that threw 5 interceptions. You're going against a top 5 team now. We're not even ranked. It should be way bigger than that, right? I mean, that's what I'm just assuming. We at their house. Yeah, so.
Their rented house.
Yeah, right there. Their rented house. Their shared apartment.
We have nothing to lose. You see we legit have nothing to lose, man.
There were some fans that were complaining, Miami fans that were like, well, because the Dolphins aren't playing here this weekend, can we get a fully painted end zone? I'm like, this is problems that I don't have to deal with.
Oh my God, bro. This game? That's crazy. Can we get them?
You know my Gator boys are going to come out and win, baby. Okay. Ain't nothing else to it.
All right. Well, I have Miami and Florida not covering this one. So win-win across the board. Hopefully I'm wrong. I'm
going to cheer. Get this guy out of here, man.
Get him out of here. Boo. But I'll be there. I'll cheer every Saturday, just like I'll cheer for the Dolphins every Thursday or Sunday. But I also won't let it affect my life, so don't let it affect yours. Next week, we'll do a rundown, kind of a quarter or a third of the way through the season on where we sit on over-under. We'll do that on the main show because we won't do a game day eve next Friday. I'll actually be in Columbia, so you guys are more than welcome to do one.
Nice. Win in Rome?
Anywho,
it's Columbia, man. Enjoy yourself.
Who are you going to Columbia with?
I'm going on a yoga retreat, a wellness retreat. Yeah, we talked about this. No, you know what, Jordan? We probably didn't because you were coaching the Jags.
I didn't hear about this one.
Yeah, a little horseback riding, hiking, yoga, all that kind of fun stuff. Staying in like the mountains, not even staying downtown. Oh, so, yeah,
that's where the leaves are at.
No, yeah, you're gonna be hanging in. You're gonna be hanging out. Okay.
Yeah.
It'll be a good trip. So I'll be here Monday, leave Tuesday. But guys, we appreciate everybody for watching. Before you leave, HD Jarhead Rider. Thanks for the super chat. Billy's gonna send out 2 tight ends and it'll be Groundhog Day. Our 2 tight ends set, and it'll be Groundhog Day.
I was having a good day, bro. I'm starting talking about this.
I appreciate you getting that before the show ended.
That's not nice, bro.
We leave the show with 2 of the 3 of us picking the Gators to win the game, and then we're reminded of 12 personnel being run out and orbit motions.
You think we got Kyle Pitts and Trey Burton, goddamn.
We got Chico, we got Chico and Kyle. We'll be coming out in 12 personnel. Of course, Cornelius Ingram to back up. Like we got an all-time
offense
tight
to
end
the guys room. That's out there now. Let me
all
just
offense
say
to
this, say that.
All
like,
offense, man. All offense.
I think those kids are actually decent at what they do. It's just that we're not utilizing them for what they do. That's part of the problem. Right. We trying to make them something that they're not, and then being mad at the results. I mean,
yeah,
if we telling Lagway to go out, I mean, not Lagway, if we telling Jaden Barr to go out to receiver and go run a slant in a dig,
We will.
He will, but it may not, that's probably not the best guy suited for that job. Yeah. So we got to just,
don't threaten Billy with a good time. He'll run it back out there to run the whole route tree in a second. He don't care.
But.
Well, before you head out of here, please hit the like button, the subscribe button. Please hit the retweet button. And if you're listening on the podcast platform, please rank us 5 stars if you can. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you on Monday. Go Gators. Beat the Hurricanes. We'll see you guys next time.